2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I'm going to preach something today called The Power of Poor Givers. The Power of Poor Givers. If you've ever been poor, you can relate. And if you're not, you might be one day. Amen. But you know, one of the things about the Christian life is Satan always tries to convince us that we don't have enough of something to do what God wants us to do. Could be money, could be courage, could be faith, could be strength, could be forgiveness, could be anything. A lot of different things, but in this passage here, we see something about a people of God that were commended, and we see a great strength in being poor, and we'll see some things about their characteristics in their life that show that there really is a power in being a poor giver. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this: "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power and beyond their power, yea, and beyond themselves, they were willing of themselves, praying us that with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." I think that's where I'm stopping. No, I'm not. Sorry, verse 6. "Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God today. I thank you for the precious life you've given us to live for your name's sake. And I thank you, Lord, that what you needed to do is always without regard to any really resources or personal ability we have within ourselves. It's always based on your power and your strength. And we thank you. We ask that you would have your will and way in this service, that each one of us would hear your voice today so that we can respond in faith to what thus saith thyself. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, first thing you notice in the passage, if you're taking notes either mentally or physically, the power of poor givers. Number one, poor givers have a grace given to them by God. Poor givers have a grace given to them by God. And verse number one, notice what it says here: "Moreover, brethren, we do wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the church in Macedonia." So everything he's going to share is about a grace bestowed upon these people. How God has given them something, given them a power, given them a strength, given them ability. And he talks about that. He's testifying, sharing the grace of God that's bestowed or given on these churches. So poor givers have a grace that's given to them by God, an ability and a strength. And grace is something that we can't earn. Grace is something that we can't manufacture. Grace is something that we can't be faithful enough to receive from God. Grace is something just given based upon the character of God. And that's so important because the things, I don't know about you, but anybody perfect yet? I know I haven't arrived yet and haven't come close, but I'm always, one of my struggles, me personally, I'm always sometimes examining myself, looking for something, some power, some strength for God to be able to, a reason that God might work through me. But God really wants me just to trust in His mercy so that His grace should work through me. So this church is going to be used in a great way because of their poverty, because they received the grace given to them by God. Number two, poor givers are not hindered by negative circumstances. Poor givers are not hindered by negative circumstances. Notice verse number two. "How then in a great trial of affliction and the abundance," notice this, "of their joy," but here it is, "their deep poverty," not just poverty, but deep poverty. You've heard me say before, back home we said people were poor. They weren't just poor, they were poor. And that's something, that's like a, poor is like an adjective and all in themselves in a noun, you're a poet. That means you're in a condition that is beyond expectation. You're so low that the normal human language can't express it. You're a poet. And it says here they're deep poverty. Notice the power here. It didn't hinder them, but their deep poverty, that means their deep inability to help. That means their deep inability to be a blessing to someone. That means their deep inability to strengthen or to encourage someone. It abounded, their deep poverty actually launched them, abounded them to the riches of their liberality. So they're in a great trial of affliction. So they're not just poor, but they are being afflicted through the torments of the gospel at this time because the Christian people at this time were under heavy persecution. And in this persecution, they had deep joy. They're not just joy, but deep joy, but this abounded to their deep poverty. In their deep poverty, it's abounded unto their liberality. So poor givers are not hindered by negative circumstances. Number three, poor givers are willing to give by facts and also by faith. Poor givers are willing to give by facts and also by faith. Because notice verse 3. Because he says, for to their power, that means they recognize the power that they had. There was an ability. So even in their deep poverty, they had something to give. And, you know, if you've ever been broke, I don't know if you've ever been down to your last dime or even down your checking account in the negative. You may have something in your house that you can give. So you recognize even if that negative bank balance, you see the power that you have. And you may be willing to do and to help and to give even with that negative check balance. So that's the facts of your situation. So they were willing, I bear record, they were willing to their power, but he says, and beyond their power. So they were willing of themselves. So not just within their power that they could visualize the facts they could see, but beyond their power, they were willing. So they say, okay, Lord, let's say there's this great, we want to help the church of Corinth. Because he's talking about the church of the Macedonia, church of the Macedonia, the church of Corinth, and Paul, they're in jeopardy. Wow, we got deep poverty, but this is all we have. Lord, it's yours. If you want it, Lord, I submit this to you. But Lord, would you still, even though I know this is all we have, even though I know there's no power beyond what we can see, Father, we're willing to do more, trusting in your ability and in your power to allow us to do more. We're willing to help, and we're willing to serve. We're willing to minister, but with the power that we have, but we're also willing, beyond our power, we'll rest in your power to take us. If you'll just lay something on our heart, if you'll just lead us, if you'll just guide us, though we may not see the power within ourselves, because it says to their power, we may not see the ability within ourselves. But if you just tell us this is what's supposed to happen, if you just tell us what you want us to do, if you just tell us by faith this is what you'd have us to do, we're willing beyond our own power to do that which you told us to do. So poor givers are willing to give by facts and also by faith. Turn to Psalm 21. We'll come back to Corinthians in just a moment, but in the book of Psalms, chapter 21, I may have got ahead of myself. I'm not sure. Let's see. Psalm 21. Oh, yes. Psalm, I love this. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible today. They change it all the time. But Psalm 21, verse number 13. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So we sing and praise thy power. It's a note I wrote in my journal, my Bible some time ago. This truly is a prayer of exaltation, because we often want the Lord to be exalted in what we think his strength to be. Yet if the Lord is truly exalted in his own strength, the result will truly be singing and praise. Because, in my life sometimes, I have a picture of what I would like God to do. Anybody believe God can do great things? But, you know, sometimes in my imagination, my mind tells me what those great things could be. And guess what? God, in His gracious, has often given exactly and done those great things that I saw and I thought He could do. But then there's times when I prayed for something and I thought, ask God for this, and then beyond my imagination, that's what the Bible says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. Because the psalmist says here, be thou exalted in thine own strength, not just what I think your strength is, but be exalted in thine own strength. Because what I think God's strength to be can often limit God from what He really can do, and often limit His ability in my own life, and also limit what I can do. Like, again, we're talking about the church of Macedonia, that in their poverty, they're thinking, man, we're helpless. I mean, what can we do to help anybody? But if God's exalted in His strength, and we find that it did happen here, they were able, they're recorded forever in the Word of God, because they were able to do, God was exalted in His own strength in their own lives, and they were miraculously able to help the church of Corinth. So poor givers are willing to give by facts and also by faith. Number four, because you got to know what you're giving away, right? I won't go there, but thank you. Poor givers fervently pray that others would receive their gifts and minister to others. Poor givers fervently pray that others would receive their gifts and minister to others. Notice verse 4. Now, what's happening here, again, the church of Corinth needs help. But the church of Macedonia, man, they're in deep poverty. The church of Macedonia, they're hard up. They can't help anything. But they were willing to their power. They were also willing beyond their power. So they didn't have the power to help them, really. But beyond that, they were willing. And so after being willing with their power, and then God manifesting His power, that they could do something for the church of Corinth that they could not do within themselves, they prayed fervently that the church of Corinth would receive the gift. Because their heart's desire is that in their poverty, in their helplessness, they would receive from them what God has given to them. And that's the whole message of the gospel. You know, if you're born again today, you didn't do it for yourself. And when you go out to witness to somebody and tell them of the reality of the power and the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're hoping that you're fervently praying that they will receive the message of the gospel, that gift that God gave you. You're praying they will receive that gift from you as well. And also when they receive that gift, the ministry will take place, and they will receive the ministering, the help, and the encouragement. As I minister to people and preach the gospel, like I'm preaching a message today that I hope you will receive and allow it to minister to your heart so you can minister to other people. Because again, verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says, praying us with much entreaty. That means they're practically begging Paul and the church that we would receive the gift. I'll never forget, I know I've shared this before, but when we were in Springfield, Missouri, I surrendered to preach, and I was working on staff at a church, unpaid staff, and we were po. And I could tell you stories about the po-ness in those days. But I remember I needed a coat. I came to church every Sunday just like I do now. I mean, I do have an actual coat at home, but there was a homeless guy that came to church every Sunday. He called him he was a can man. Was it Ed? Do you remember? You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Okay, again, the can man, he came almost every Sunday. He rode a bicycle, and he had cans tied to the bicycle so people could hear him coming, you know, and had big flags over the bicycle. And he saw in the wintertime that I didn't have a winter coat. And he asked me one time, why don't you wear an overcoat? And I said, well, I don't have one, you know. And so one of the service or two later, he brought me a winter coat and gave it to me. It was a overcoat like one you wear with a suit and a tie. It was blue. I still remember it was navy blue, and I had it. I remember, and he just wanted to receive the gift. Now, I was trained for the ministry, but I was working a full-time job. I can't remember which one at the time, but I'm thinking we had a home to live in, and I'm thinking, wow, here's this guy poor, riding around on a bicycle with no home, wanting to give me a gift to be a blessing to me. And he really wanted me to receive it. Now, I could have been overly proud. I was proud. I could have been overly proud and not received the gift. But he wanted me in his deep poverty to receive the gift that he'd given to me. And that's what's going on in this church here of Macedonia. They don't have what other people have. They don't have the resources other people have. But they're willing to their power and beyond themselves just to give. Just to give. And poor givers, they fervently pray that others would receive their gifts and minister to others. Because somebody says, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. They said, we want you to be like us. They're helping the church in Macedonia, and we're in to our power, in our affliction, in our deep poverty. We want you to receive this gift, and we want you to be this way to other people. You know, as we've come here to give our lives, we want you to be that same way to other people, to give your lives to other people. As the missionaries I used to hear come to my home church, the church I first got saved in, I began to hear about missionaries giving up good jobs and opportunities to go and to serve and to go places. I thought, wow. And they would plead with me and plead with the church that we would take up on the ministering of the saints. And so poor givers fervently pray that others would receive their gifts and minister to others. Number five, poor givers have given God the gift of themselves. Poor givers have given God the gift of themselves. Notice in verse number five. And this they did, not only as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. But first gave their own selves to the Lord. See, poor givers, they've given it to God. And we're talking about poor givers in that are truly led of God. There's poor people that give, but I mean, keeping the context of Scriptures, givers like this, they've given themselves to God. And because they first, that's a priority. Before you can ever really give a gift that honors the Lord, you must give yourself to the Lord. You know, I gave even before I was born again. And I expected something from it. I wanted to be praised for it. There's times even after giving my life to Christ that my life wouldn't completely yield to God. And I still gave, and I gave to things, but I kind of had in the back of my mind, you know, man, I hope somebody appreciates this, what I'm doing. But when my heart is right, when I really have given myself, my being, to the Lord, then, man, that's the powerful giving. But the givers we're talking about here, the poor givers, these are givers that are able to help when they have no ability, really even to help themselves. They first give themselves to the Lord, and that's a powerful position, because then when you belong to God, when your life is in the hands of God, God can take you and move you and use you in whatever way He sees fit. If you know anything about horses, anybody here ever ride a horse? I mean, you know, but those that rode a horse, they didn't ride a wild horse. Know what kind of horse they rode? They rode a horse that was broken. Because until that horse was broken and yielded, it was a danger. It was a threat. And it could not be used in the manner by which it is used. There's horses that people used to plow fields and all, people would ride from town to town, you know, several years ago. But before those horses were ever usable to be a blessing, I would imagine lives were saved because of horses. You know, back in the day, and you think of the Pony Express, they took the mail through, and even, I would imagine in a horse in a wagon, somebody was rushed to a doctor somewhere in a neighboring town by a horse, but it was only by a horse that had been broken. Because once that horse was broken, then it had the ability to be used to help in a manner that it could not imagine helping in its own wild condition. So the same with you and I, when we remain wild and free, so to speak, just doing our own thing, we miss out on opportunities to be used in ways that we don't really think possible. You know, I think a horse, of course, we realize a horse is not a human being, but I don't think those horses back in those days never thought, you know what, I'm going to one day save some lives. I'm going to be used to help somebody. I'm going to be used to provide food for families, and so they can, as they plow in fields, and as they yielded and were used to plow fields, so the crops could be harvested and grow. And they probably never realized some of that same crops they harvested, guess what, was used to feed the horses themselves. So these horses, once they were broken, were able to be used not only to help others, but it was also being used to help themselves. You know, the hay from the fields that they probably plowed themselves and other things too, and the corn, like I said. And God, when you and I are broken, when we give ourselves first unto the Lord, when we give ourselves unto Him, the potential to be used beyond our imagination just becomes amazing. Last of all, poor givers give themselves to others according to the will of God. Poor givers give themselves to others according to the will of God. Because notice verse 5 again. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, notice this, and to us by the will of God. So as they help these churches, the churches in Corinth, in their deep poverty, in their deep affliction, they gave themselves to Paul and the churches he helped to establish and lead by the will of God. That's again, the marriage is such a perfect example of the church as God means to be, because in a marriage, people give themselves to each other according to the will of God. And that's a representation of the relationship that Christ had from the church. Guess what? Christ, the perfect bridegroom, gave himself for the church. Then the bride, the church's responsibility is to respond and give herself to the bridegroom according to the will of God. That's why we have the Bible, so we can find out how to give ourselves unto Him according to the will of God. That's why so often I stress the reality, the significance of that verse in John 13, 35. "But this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have loved one toward another." That I stress that urgently, because that in that love is how we give ourselves to each other according to the will of God. There's no other way it can properly happen. And so poor givers give themselves to others according to the will of God. And I don't have it here, but number 7, and we'll close with this one. Poor givers are motivated by the perfect example of a poor giver. Poor givers are motivated by the perfect example of a poor giver. You'll find that in verse number 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty ye might be rich." You know, poor giver realizes that Jesus was the hand of creation. Because John 1, verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And they recognized that Jesus Christ, the Savior of creation, made all things. That meant, and he had power over all things. But you know what? He said, I'm going to walk this earth in poverty so that me, could be made rich. Salvation gives us the riches, a riches that money can't buy, and eternal riches and wealth in the heavens. And that's quite amazing. So Jesus is our perfect example. "For you know that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor." This is the motivation of the poor giver. Because this life is not given. I would say the poor givers have taken upon the fellowship ministry of the saints in the mindset that just like Jesus, this earthly walk is not for me to use the power and authority that I have for myself. This earthly power that I have is used as power in this wealth, that others might be made rich as I make myself poor. As I deny myself, that others might have advancement and power and authority. So poor givers have the perfect example of a poor giver to model their life, are motivated by the perfect example of a poor giver. So if you're broke today and you want to serve God, you're in a good situation. And if you're not broke today, I promise you, you will be broke at some point. Maybe not financially, but you will come across some area of your life where you need to help somebody and you just don't have the ability to do it. And you may be in affliction, but God can use you in those times where there's nothing in the tank, so to speak, to help anybody. As you just be willing to your power. That's just your surrender to God. And then beyond your power, as you will of yourselves, then the grace will be bestowed upon you for God to do through you and give through you. And you'll be amazed at what God would do through you. And one day you will have an eternal testimony, because see, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. You have an eternal testimony recorded in the heavens with God of how you served and did that which is pleasing in His sight. So, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God today. I thank You for the perfect example that You've given us through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You that though Jesus Christ had absolutely everything, I thank You that though He was rich, for our sake He became poor. I'm thankful that as He lived this earthly life, He could have used it for Himself. He could have rightfully rode and been worshipped as King while He walked the face of the earth. But He chose to carry Himself and live in deep poverty that He might abound to My riches. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Father. Lord, if there be anyone here today that does not know this great love and this riches of Jesus Christ, I pray that they'll come to know You. And Father, if there be someone here today that knows Your hand is upon their life, but all they can think about is their affliction and their inability to help as they think they ought to be able to help, I pray You'll free them from looking at their own abilities and looking upon Your power to work through them. I pray that there will be a surrender of heart that for every single believer, that they might first give themselves unto You, and then faithfully give themselves to other according to the will of Thyself. Thank You for Jesus Christ, who gives us this marvelous privilege to talk to You in prayer.